We're going to be talking about today, walking in spiritual authority, continuing in a series we started last week. Before we get started today, let me just tell you this. In 2 weeks from today, we'll start a series called Who is the Holy Spirit? And many of you who have questions about the Holy Spirit, some of you have not been taught about the Holy Spirit and its relevance for our everyday life and where it fits. And is it really true? Is it not true? Is it for us? Is it not for us? And if it's so, how does it apply to my life? And a lot of you have friends who ask questions. If you've been a Christian for a long time, you especially know people who ask you this question about the Holy Spirit, wanting explanations. And we're going to take about 6 weeks and really go through the Scripture and looking at the relevance of the Holy Spirit in our life, its purpose in our life, and from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and see where the Holy Spirit fits in our life today. And so many of you have asked that question, and I want you to know it's coming up in 2 weeks. If you have people you know who would be interested in coming, you're sure to invite them and let them know about that. Today we're going to talk about walking in spiritual authority. How many want to walk in the spiritual authority that God has for your life? Isn't this something that we have been given authority, but many times we don't walk in authority that God's given us? It's a shame, isn't it, that someone who's been given authority would not walk and use that authority. We know people who've had authority given to them, and they never used the authority. And it's a shame because we're living below the level that God has always intended for us to live. We talked about a few weeks ago about the grace. So there's an extra level of grace that God's wanting us to function in every day. The same thing I believe here, that God is wanting us, there's an extra level of authority that he's wanting us to realize and to comprehend and to put into practice in our life, things of the spiritual authority that he's given our life. Now, last week we talked about and answered two questions. Where do we get authority from? Where do we get it from? We answered that comes from where? All authority comes from the Father. Jesus said all authority comes from the Father. What I pray is what he tells me to pray. What I say is what he tells me to say. And so he says the things I do, I don't do them because I want to do them. I do them because the Father has told me to do them. And so we see, he even talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does what we instruct. And I'm doing because what the Father's instructed, that we are leading and following the lead of the Holy Spirit through the Father. And so we know that authority comes first and foremost through the Father. Then we talked about how do we get it? And we get authority by what? By being obedient. When we're obedient and we line up under authority, we walk in authority. So today we're going to answer two more questions this week. How many want to lose authority? Do you want to lose it? No. So we're going to talk about how do you lose it, because if you don't know how you lose it, then sometimes you'll lose it and not realize, where did it go? Why can't I see it operating in my life? So we're going to talk about how do you actually lose authority. Then we're also going to talk about how do you use authority? What is this purpose? Ultimately, what is this the purpose of my life? How do I use authority, and what's this purpose in my life? So let's answer these questions today. Let's look at our text in Matthew 8, chapter 5, verse 5 through 10. I love this story. It's one of the greatest stories on spiritual authority in the Scripture, because Jesus really got a kick out of this, and I think you will too. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, that a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Look what he says, for I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said, those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. I love his story because first of all, did this man ask Jesus to come to his house? No, he didn't, did he? He just told Jesus about the request, and he's like, let's go. Let's go pray for this guy. And Jesus was willing to go. Just a little side note from this message today. Realize that Jesus wants to heal you. He really does, and he desires to do that. He was desiring to heal this man before he was ever asked to go to his house. He said, let's go to his house. I'll lay hands. Let's do this thing. And this man said, no, Jesus, don't. Wait just a second. He goes, I have been given authority, and I know how authority works. And this is a great message because I love it because it says that Jesus marveled at his reaction. Now, how many times in Scripture do we see where something really marveled Jesus? We don't find it, do we? But in this case, we find it says, this marveled Jesus, okay? This marveled the God of the universe. This man had an understanding of spiritual authority because he had been placed in authority. The government, the Roman government, had placed him in authority, had placed him in a place where he had authority given to him. He was accountable to authority. At the same time, he was under authority. He had people under him. And so he understood the chain of authority. And if he would just command it to happen, that the authority is there, and that this man would be healed. He understood if Jesus just said, Jesus, if you just declare that he is healed, because God has given you spiritual authority, it shall happen. And Jesus is like, bingo, man. Wow. He's like, this is great. Finally, disciples, listen up. I've been trying to explain this principle to you. I've been trying to tell you that everything you see me do, I do because the Father is delegating me to do this. Everything you hear me say and teach, it's because the Father is leading me to teach you this. I don't come in my own power, but I come by the power of the Father. And so he's been teaching this all along to his disciples, and they're really not understanding this delegation of authority. And finally, this Roman centurion comes up and understands it, and Jesus is like, wow, great, somebody gets it. And so today, I say this, that Jesus is looking for people that he can say, great, you are understanding spiritual authority. You're understanding the way things were designed to operate in the kingdom of God. He said, I've seen nothing greater in the faith. It marveled Jesus. He recognized that Jesus was in authority because he was under authority. All the Bible talks about, Jesus talks about being under authority, and this man recognized it. How many people know people in high school who said this? Nobody's ever going to be over me. Nobody will ever be in charge of my life. You wait till I get out of here, there's nobody going to rule me. My parents aren't going to rule me. No principal's going to rule me. No boss is ever going to, I'm my own man, I'll do my own thing, and nobody will ever tell me what to do. How many know where those two people, those places, two places they always end up? Number one, where? Jail or the army? It seems like they always end up in those two places. Is this true? They do. And they end up having more people over them, because they did not understand the concept of submitting to authority. And they thought they were going to take themselves out of authority, and so therefore they placed themselves in more authority because they could not handle this chain of authority that God has set up in their life. And so it always happens that God has placed an order of authority in our life. He's always destined this to happen, that we will walk under authority. Let's look at a scripture this morning. We're going to kick it off. I love this scripture. It's a very controversial scripture. I like controversy, so let's dig right into it. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Let's get right into it. Now, guys, you can probably quote this verse. Let's read it together. But I want you to know that the head of every man is what? Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Now, we read the scripture, and many times, guys, we've been quoting the scripture since you could first remember scripture. I can tell you this. I remember being in Sunday school as a little kid, and anytime we had a Bible discussion, like all the guys in class would always seem to bring this verse up. I mean, even as a young kid, I remember the guy, well, yeah, well, the girls listen to this. God has placed this over you. And it's just always this debate, you know, even from the time he's a kid. And we kind of just throw this out there nonchalantly. Yeah, yeah, God's placed us as rulers, and, you know. We got it. Yep, yep. You know, we got the whole thing going on. And really, we take the scripture and we use it totally out of whack of what it was meant to see. Because what he was trying to explain was that everything has an order. That everybody is subject to somebody. That everybody is placed under authority. And he was trying to prove the example that, listen, hey, every man is what? Christ is over him, and man's over the woman, and head of Christ is God. He was showing us this chain of authority he was trying to apply to our life and let us recognize that we must, somewhere in our life, we must all be under authority. We must all be under Christ's authority. And so we've taken this thing. Let's get our umbrella back out again. I've chosen a good day to use an umbrella because I think we have a few leaks in here. So there we go. Stand where the leaks are. I can preach with this umbrella. So we got an umbrella out. This umbrella represents what? God's authority. And so, come here, honey. We think that we have been given authority by God by reading this scripture. And so we think this, honey, get over here and get under my authority. Bless God, woman. The scripture says you better get under my authority. This is our observation of authority. This really is, and we are totally out of whack of what God really wanted to operate in our life. Because he never intended for this to be the picture. Man, you are over the woman. Ha, 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 ha. And woman, you got to do what I say. I didn't get your finger. I'm not going to break your nail, baby. I promise. Okay, right there. Pastor Matt, come here. So this is the picture of authority that he actually wanted us to do. Let's say Pastor Matt gets to play God here. Crystal, this is the one and only time right here. Okay, just play God. The point that he wants us to do is this, that as a man being over the woman, and I'm supposed to be under spiritual authority, my job is to do this, is to help my spouse get under God's authority. It's not to put my authority over her, but it's to come along beside her and help her up to be everything that God wants her to be. Amen. To help her to operate under God's authority. Honey, I want you to be everything God wants you to be. Honey, I want you to operate in God's greatest anointing for your life. Honey, I want you to be under God's authority. And together, we are under God's authority together. It was never meant as an example for me to say, I am to rule my wife, okay? If you've ever quoted the scripture that way, you are quoting it wrong, okay? This is not the way it was defined. It was showing an order of authority that God wants all of us to know that we are accountable to each other and that we're called to lead. And as husbands, we are called to lead our homes. And wives, we're called to submit, but we're called to do it together. And we'll find the scripture out. Thank you. We'll find the scripture out and look at it together. And that as we submit to each other, there's an anointing that comes for us to walk in a greater authority. The police have been given authority to what? Serve and protect. They have been delegated that authority from our city government to serve and protect. So when you get pulled over for speeding, remember when you used to get pulled over for speeding and you always said, they just got it in for me. They just don't like me. I remember when I was in my first car, it was a 79 gold Firebird. Black limo tinted windows. You got it, man. I cruised into my high school with one wheel over the speed hump at a time, you know, because it's so low. Dum, 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 dum. Anyway, I'd be coming in, bumping. And, you know, I'd get pulled over like, they just pulled me over because of my car. Well, they pulled me over because I'm a teenager, you know. No, they were trying to serve and protect me from my community. They didn't want me to drive recklessly and to injure somebody. And so they were doing their job to serve and protect. You see, my job with authority comes that I'm to serve and protect my family. As a man, God has placed me in authority. And as I submit myself under God's authority, my job is to serve and protect. It is not to just rule over them, but to serve and protect them. We've been called, but let's look at the scripture. I think it really defines itself. And before we get too carried away, let's look at the rest of this chapter in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Let's pick it up in verse 8. Read verse 8 through 12. For man, for man. All right, guys, do this. For man is not from woman, but the woman from the man. Nor was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. What's happening here? He's talking about spiritual authority. That, you know, listen, women, you need authority in your life. But just so that the guys don't misrepresent what's happening here, he goes on to burst our bubble right here. Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of the woman, or the woman independent of the man in the Lord. For as a woman came from the man, even so also comes through the woman the man. All things are from God. It's saying this. It's like, yeah, we can say this. Yeah, my woman, she came from my rib. You were created for me. Out of my rib, you come from me. But unless your name is Adam, you were born how? By a woman. So don't take this scripture and take it all out of context, because unless your name is Adam, you were born by a woman. And he's saying we are not separate from each other. We're not ruling each other. We need each other. And we serve each other. And we lead each other. And yes, husbands, we are called to lead our families as the head, the spiritual head of our house. And we're called to say, God, I'm going to get under your authority. God, I'm going to walk under your authority. God, I'm going to do right here. And so when I get under God's authority, there it is. I saw that raindrop right there. There we go. All right. When I get under God's authority, and wives, when you pull away from the authority of the husband, what do? You step out from under the authority of the Lord. And what do also? You pull your children out of the spiritual authority that God has for our life. Husbands, when I step out from under the authority of the Lord and I act like a jerk, I am stepping away from the authority that God has placed me in, and I'm taking my family out of that authority. Now, if you're single today, congratulations. You got a lot easier task. Because us who are married, it's a lot harder to get on agreement and come under agreement. It's work, and you got to do it together. Because when you don't, we are not operating under the spiritual authority God has for us. See, we lose it. Oh, we've been destined to have it, but when we don't operate together, submitting together under the Lord, then we are not going to walk in the full power of the authority that he has for our life. Does this make sense to you? I think the light's going on, isn't it? Because we're seeing this is ways that we step out of God's authority and lose it. That we lose and walk out of the authority the Lord has for us, and we submit to each other. I wish today that we would realize the power of walking under God's authority for our life. I believe today that God's great raising up a group of mob men. I believe today God's raising up a group of men from the mob who say, you know what, Pastor, I want to walk under God's authority. I got any mob guys here today? See, that's me. I'm ready to walk. I'm asking, any guys, any men here today, any guys who say, I want to walk under spiritual authority that God has for my life? Do you really believe that today, guys? I'm just stay right here a second. Any guys today that say, I want to walk under the spiritual authority that God has for my life? If not, you need to get excited, because you can transform your family. You can transform your spiritual authority that God has for you and your wife by you simply lining up yourself and saying, I'm going to line up with God, and I'm going to line my family up as well. If you're a man here today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to align myself up under the spiritual authority. I want you to stand on your feet right now. You say, today, Pastor, I want to line myself up. What do you think, ladies? I think these guys, yeah. Raise your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now that God at Destiny Church, that we'll have men who raise up, Lord, to walk into spiritual authority for our homes, Lord, over our children, over our family, that you have called us to walk in. That, God, we will not be spiritual wimps or spiritual jerks, but, God, we will walk with love, compassion. We'll walk into spiritual authority you have destined for us to walk in. And, God, we're going to serve, we're going to protect, and, God, we're going to say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to put ourselves under God's authority for our life. And we're going to begin to change the authority that we walk in. We're going to change the way that we walk. We're going to change the way that we talk. We're going to change the way that we live. We're going to change the way that we love. And we're going to step out and we're going to lead by example. We will be men of boldness. And we declare it in the name of the Lord. We say, amen. Amen. Thanks. Oh, man. How many today say, I want to walk in God's authority for my life? Yes. Let's look at scripture. Look what it says in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to what? The governing authorities. Now, I was telling this to the early service, and I'll say it to you. One of the problems that people think we have is we don't have a great understanding of the Greek and Hebrew when it comes to translating the scripture. We really believe if I just understood Greek and Hebrew, I could really understand the deeper level of the scripture translation. There is some truth to that. Obviously, when you study the original meaning, it actually brings out some new depth of spiritual insight. But let me tell you this. We don't have a problem with people understanding Greek and Hebrew. Let me tell you what the greatest problem is. We have a great need of people who don't understand English. Really, it is true. Because the scripture says, let every soul. If you translate it out in the Greek or Hebrew, it means let everyone. All of us. But we get in the clear picture here, okay? Not some. Let every one of us be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what? The ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on who? Themselves. How do we lose it? By resisting authority. Let me say this to you. I love the fact that God has blessed America with a democratic society where we can come and vote on who we want to lead our city and our state and our government of the United States. And we have the freedom to go out and vote. We have the freedom to campaign for who you want to. We have freedom to do all this and that. But once we vote and the decision is final, we must stop criticizing as a church and start praying and supporting our leaders. Ooh, that's hard, isn't it? I know that's hard in a tough economy when things aren't happening and promises aren't being fulfilled. You thought what was promised to you? If we would spend just a half the time praying for our president and the cabinet and our Congress as much as we do criticizing, I wonder how much we can actually move heaven and earth. What do you think? And see, we're called to live under. We don't have to agree with them. And the next election, you can free to vote for who you want. And you can do what you want. That's the power of living in the United States. We can vote for who we want. And I'm all for that. Go out there and vote. Just vote. Vote for who you feel like God's calling you to vote for. Do that. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. You vote for who you feel like God is leading you to vote for. But once that decision is final, we've got to realize we are under the authority that God has placed there. For there is no authority except from God. And authorities that exist are appointed by God. I wonder how many of us allow ourselves to live in this authority and saying, you know what, I'm not going to obey this authority in my life. I resist this authority. How many today will admit, say, Pastor, I'll just tell you right now, I have a problem with witchcraft in my life. Anybody here want to admit that? We don't want to admit that, do we? No, I don't have hallelujah, not me. I don't have witchcraft. Well, I'm glad you said that. Because this is what 1 Samuel 15:23 says. For rebellion is as the sin of what? Can you believe that's in the Bible? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So let me tell you this, that when we walk in rebellion to people that God has placed over our life, we are opening up our spirit to demonic activity. We are opening up our spirit to demonic influence. This is what happens. And some of us here, we think we're not in rebellion, but if we really look inside our heart, I wonder how many of us really have rebellion just in different levels and different things. Oh, I will go so far, but you can never go beyond this point in my life. I got this wall built up. I'll comply so much, but I'll never comply all the way. I'll serve God all this, but never all the way. I'll do this, but never all the way. And we stop, and we've allowed our heart to rebel against the authority God has placed in our life. This goes along with spiritual authority. It goes along with the governing authority. It goes along with your boss at work. And I can tell you, sometimes it's really hard to submit to authority when they're jerks or when they are people who are just have no concept of working with authority the right way. But if we would stop and say, God, I'm going to submit myself to this authority, and I'm going to do my job as unto what? The Lord, because that's what Scripture tells me to do anyway. It says, I don't work for that man. I do my work as unto God. God, I'm going to submit myself and do my job to the best so I can please you, God, not to please this person or to get their approval. But God, I'm looking for your approval in my work ethic. God, I'm looking for your approval in the way I do my job. I'm looking for your approval in the way that I submit to authority. We unlock a spiritual freedom. We unlock a greater level of spiritual authority in our life. And when we rebel, we're closing ourselves up to walking in that great authority God has for our life. This is how we lose it. Rebellion. We've got to get rid of it. When we walk in rebellion, we open ourselves up to allowing ourselves to be attacked. Look what it says here in James 4:7. Very clear. One of the most popular scriptures, we will quote this scripture all day long. If you've been a Christian all day long, especially if you've been raised in any kind of spirit-filled church, you've been quoting this scripture since the time you was just a little kid. Resist the devil, and he must what? Flee from you. I resist the devil, and he must what? Flee from you. We know that. Someone telling you something, Satan just attacking me. Or brother, just resist the devil. Ha! And he must flee from you. We got it down, man. We know this. But how many times did we ever quote the first part of this verse and live it out? Because that's the key right there. Therefore, submit. Submit to God. Therefore, submit to God's authority for my life. Submit to God's authority for my finances. Submit to God's authority for my prayer life. Submit to God's authority for my marriage. Submit to God's authority for my work ethic. Submit to God's authority, and what happens? Then I can walk around with the power. It says, devil, I can resist you, and you what? Must flee from me. I can walk around with a spiritual authority. I can resist the devil. Devil, you think you can get on my children, but you can't. Devil, you got to leave my kids alone and get out of my house. And he must what? He must obey. Why? Because I am living under authority, and I can walk in that authority. But when I say, to hell with it all, literally, and I can say this, you know what? I'll choose when I want to be a Christian. I'll choose when I want to submit to God. I'll choose, and then I come out here and say, devil, I resist you in the name. It ain't going to happen, man. You might as well go buy that magic kick from a souvenir shop because it don't have any bite to it at all. It ain't going nowhere. But when I put myself back under spiritual authority and say, all right, there ain't no demon in hell that can fight me. Why? Because I'm under God's authority. I can walk under the authority that God has placed for my life, for my marriage, because I'm under God's authority. And when I do that, I can walk in the authority he has for my life. So how does God want me to use my authority? As we close up, let me tell you this. He wants us to use our authority. Let's read the scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:10. It tells us how we're to use our authority. This is why I write these things, and when I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of what? Authority. Look what it says, the authority the Lord gave me for what? For building you up and not for tearing you down. See, to have a concept of how God wants you to use your authority, the authority he wants us to walk in is to build people up and to not tear people down. Good concept, isn't it? Why is God wanting to give me authority? Because he wants me to build people up. Why does your boss give you authority at work? Because he wants you to build that business up. He wants you to make those employers under you better employers. He wants you to get more productive out of them. He wants you to get a higher quota. He wants things to happen, wants things to flow. He's putting you over that and giving that authority so that you can make your shift better, because you can make your crew better, because you can make the people around you better. Why does God give you spiritual authority? Because he wants you to build people up around you, on your job, in your home, in your marriage, in your family. He has given me the principle of authority in my life that I can build people up, not tear them down. Satan wants to steal my authority. He wants to steal your authority. And how does he do that? He steals our authority by telling us lies. He wants us to believe the lies. And that's how he steals our authority from us, by telling us lies. Now, let me just tell you this, that there was a time in my life that I didn't serve God the way I should. I know it's hard for you to believe, looking up here today. You never have a hard time with that concept, that I never served God. There's a time in my life I wasn't serving God the way I should. I remember one time in high school that I went through a period where I was not serving God the way I should. And we would have substitute teachers. Anybody remember this, when you have substitute teachers coming to your class? First of all, if you're a principal or a teacher here today, or even a substitute teacher, I'm going to tell you this. I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry. I didn't know any better. Well, I knew better, but I didn't care. Anyway, and I remember we'd have substitute teachers come in, and within 5 minutes, I would have control of the class. And I would do this various ways because, you know, I would come in, and the teacher would come in, and class, open up your chapter, blah, 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 and this is your assignment. And I would like, excuse me. The teacher lets me teach the class, and this is actually my chapter, and I've been studying. And she allows the students to teach us how we learn by teaching each other. And class, is this right? Everybody's like, oh, yeah, 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 this is right. And she took that little lie that I took, and she believed it. And then what happened? She lost control of the class. Because I'd get up and start teaching my own thing. I would get up and start writing things on the board, making stuff up, and just teaching the whole time. And people back there, you know, my friends are just giggling aside. And I'm up here just teaching this class over something I don't know anything about, or maybe know a little bit about, and just I'm teaching it my own way. I remember one time we had a substitute teacher come into math class, and I was like, excuse me. I said, yeah. I said, the teacher lets us play cards in class so we can help actually count and work with numbers. Class, is this true? Everybody's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And so pretty soon we have 4 or 5 card games that break out across the room, and everybody's playing cards instead of doing work. See, as soon as that teacher believed the lie, she lost control of her class, didn't she? She gave up control to me. It was fun. I'm sorry. I was the young and immature. I really was. But as soon as they believe the lie, they lost control. And see, in our life, that's the way we are. As soon as we believe the lie that Satan tells us, we lose the control, the authority that God wants us to have. As soon as you believe that lie, you know what? Your marriage will never be any better than any marriage you've ever in your family before. Your marriage is always going to end up in divorce. That's true. That's right. Well, I guess it always happened. I just lost my spiritual authority. You'll never find a man that loves you the way you need to love. They're always going to come in. They're always going to abuse you and use you and be gone. That's true. That's always the guys I'm picking at. You're right. I probably will. I'm just destined to have bad guys in my life. And we start believing that lie, and we've lost our spiritual authority. You'll never get out of debt. You'll always be in debt. Your finances will always be in ruin. Well, that's true. We probably will always be in debt. Might as well just get used to it and accept the fact they're always going to have financial problems and be in debt. And so Satan tells us lies, and we start believing those lies, and we start, what we do? Then we give up our authority that God has for us. And so Satan says this, hey, you know what? Your marriage is going to end up in divorce like every marriage in your family before. And if our person of authority realizes this, you know what, Satan? Scripture says this, that you are the father of lies. So if you're telling me it's going to fall apart, then that means it must be going to be all right. And so I'm going to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Satan, for that confirmation. I'm doing okay. Because my marriage is going to be all right. And I can walk in that spiritual authority. And in fact, while I'm mad at Satan, I'm under God's authority. So I've got to resist you because I'm submitted to God. And you're going to get out of my marriage. You're going to get out of my head. And you're going to quit telling me these lies. And I'm going to walk in the authority God has for my life. You know what? You're always going to be in debt. You're never going to get out of debt. And you're never going to see things paid off. And you're always going to have problems with finances. Satan, thanks for that confirmation. Yeah. Thanks. I am going to do it. I'm looking at God's word. It tells me about paying off my debts, and it tells me about how to get out of debt. And I'm paying my tithes, and I'm going to see myself get out of debt. My finances are going to turn around. So thank you for that confirmation, because you're the father of lies. So the more you tell me I'm not, that means that God's got something great planned ahead. You see, it's walking in that authority that God has for our life. We've got to quit believing the lies and allow God's authority to come alive in our life. Let's close today. Our musicians are coming this morning. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. Before we go any further today, I just want to ask you this question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, you've been talking about God's authority, and I just realized this morning that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Before I do anything else, I just got to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I will not embarrass you in any way this morning at all, but I want to make sure I give you a chance, because we so many weeks here, it seems like there's always people who are willing to make an important decision about following after Jesus Christ. And I believe today, if you're here, that your heart's been softened, that you hear just the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart today, saying today's your day to make things right with God. Nobody's looking around at all, and I will not embarrass you one bit. I'm going to give you a chance just to answer this question I ask you right now. Today, y'all, you hear and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, I'm ready to make things right with Him. I want to make sure that heaven's my home, but foremost, I want to make sure that I get back into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer of forgiveness a long time ago. but I haven't lived for God in a long time. And today I want to come back, just renew my commitment that I made to Him. But nobody looking around, can you just raise your hands and say, that's me, Pastor? I want to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these and say, I'm ready today? Raise it high if you haven't raised it yet. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today? Don't wait. Today's your day. Thank you. Those of you who raise your hands, we're all going to say a prayer with you together. Especially those who raise your hands, I want you to say it out loud with us. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All of my dreams, all of my hurts, I give to you today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you'll say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give them a hand clap. Before you leave today, make sure you stop by our information booth in the back. We got a free Bible and some other things that tell you what you need to do next. If you don't have a church home, you need to make sure that you get connected to a church home. We'd love to have you here. If you came with friends, before you leave, they tell them, man, I made a decision today to follow for Christ. I want your support. And they'll support you and want to get you connected with people who can help you in your new decision for Jesus Christ. The rest of us today, I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. How many today, with all of us looking around, say, Pastor, I'm going to walk in the spiritual authority that God has for my life, for my home. Whether you're single, whether you're married, it doesn't make a difference. Say, today, Pastor, I'm ready today to walk in the spiritual authority that God has destined for my life. How many today say, today, Pastor, I realize that I still got some areas of rebellion that maybe I've held off and haven't realized. As you're talking today, I realize there's still some areas I need to allow God to come in and take out that rebellion in my heart that I've allowed to resist. Say, today, Father, I'm ready. I'm ready to let that go. We're going to sing a song. It's a new song here at Destiny. It simply says, in your name, there's hope for the hopeless. In your name. And so today, we're going to declare His name. I want you just to lift your hands as we sing the song. I want you to declare it out of your mouth that He is Lord in your life today as we sing in His great love. Jesus, it's you. Today it's with our hands raised, and Father, we say we want to align ourselves up under your authority, God. Every man, every woman in this house today, God, we say that we want to align ourselves under your authority, that God, we can walk in the greater authority in our lives that you've asked us to walk in. That we can walk in that power, we can walk in that spiritual authority by submitting ourselves to your authority. Today, God, I pray that, Father, we resist all spirits of rebellion. And God, we allow ourselves to walk in the favor of the Lord and walk in the power of the fullness of the Holy Spirit that you've intended for us to walk in. So God, with our hands raised today, we say we submit ourselves to your authority. We submit ourselves to your lordship in our life. We submit ourselves, Lord, to whatever you ask us to do, whatever you're telling us to do, whatever you're teaching us to do, God. We say yes to that authority in our life. And God, help us to place ourselves under your authority, God, every day of our life. May we resist the pride. And God, may we come under submission to your Holy Spirit today. And we say yes, yes and amen. If you believe it today, put your hands together and bless the Lord one more time. Amen. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to walk in the spiritual authority that God has for my life. Are you ready to do that? I believe that very much. Thank you so much for being here today. Listen, before you leave, make sure you sign up for the classes on Wednesday nights or sign up for the hockey trip, guys. God bless you. Shake someone's hand before you leave and tell them it's good to be with you in church today.